Good evening to you all, and thank you for joining us once again for the Salvation Meeting here on Fortress Radio. I hope you've had a good week. Now, I know some of you will have and some won't, but whatever our day-to-day experience, let's put the world aside for the next hour or so and join together in fellowship, praise and thanksgiving. And we're going to do so this evening with the help of two of my favourite Salvationists. When I was growing up, I used to learn what I learned about army history, and I wished I could have been there with the likes of William Booth, Elijah Cadman, the converted chimney sweep, great pioneers like George Scott Railton, or preachers like Brengel. But as I got older, I realised that there were plenty of great men of God right there around me as I was growing up. Great Salvationists like Albert Mingay, Leslie Condon, Ray Steadman Allen, and Johns, Gowans and Larson. I even got to meet all these wonderful souls, and we counted some of them amongst our family friends. So tonight there will be a little bit less of me, as most of the talking I'm going to leave to those two Johns. My first stage appearance was at the age of just 4 or 5 in Takeover Bid in South Wales, and I've been a great fan of their songs and musicals ever since. So let's start our meeting this evening by singing together song number 319, asking the Holy Spirit to come and share this meeting with us. For the mighty moving of thy Spirit, Lord, we thank you. In our prayer time now, we're going to use another wonderful song from the musical Spirit. The chorus of this is song number 328 in our songbook, but the first two verses were used in the musical. The third verse, now that was only ever published in Gems for Songsters number 8, and I'm going to leave General John himself to read that verse to you before we hear a few more of his recorded prayers to begin our meeting. But first, to be like Jesus.
Ambitions clamor to control my mind. and pleasing prospects I see. But first and foremost in my heart I find a nobler purpose for me. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me, like Him I'll be. Field of life I have high hopes, and for achievement aspire. But this ambition holds the highest place and burns within me like fire. Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me, like Him I'll be.
Whatever I may lose, I mean to win some faint resemblance to Christ. For this alone I'll work, for this I'll pray, all other plans sacrifice. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me, His Spirit helping me. Like Him, I'll be. I used to wonder why mankind has always sung your praises with pomp and circumstance and oh, such highfaluting phrases. You must get bored upon your throne beyond the highest star to hear us going on about how good and kind you are. If you don't mind, I'll go right on in praising you. You see, while it may not mean much to you, it means a lot to me. You do not always speak, Lord, when I pray. To tell the truth, it's sometimes good that way. I say my peace, expose my deepest need, and for my trembling brother intercede, make my thanksgiving, praise you, and adore, for after all, that's what my praying's for. Peace, seeps into my soul, then I'm serene. I know you're there, and silence falls between. Companionable silence, mystic stuff that wraps me in your presence. It's enough.
Time to sing again now. And I don't know about you, but I'm really disappointed that this next song was omitted from our latest songbook. It was number 244 in the last book, if you happen to have that handy. And of all the Gowans and Larsen songs that we sing in our meetings, I would have thought this was one of the most used. Yet, for some reason, it was left out of the 2015 book. And here we are, 5 years later, and the words of that second verse are so needed in this world in 2020. They seem such prophetic words. Listen, is your mind mixed up? And are your thoughts in turmoil? Are you tired of fighting? Are you sick of wars? Would you like some peace instead of inner conflict? If you want it, it's yours. If ever we needed that reassurance, it's in 2020. Thank you, General Gowans, for your wisdom, still touching us long after your own promotion to glory. Well, if you have your own songbook, or you can remember the words by heart, I know I can, then please join us as we sing now. If you want it, it's yours. Mentioned earlier in my introduction that I was in takeover bid. I think it was 1968 in the South Wales division with the musical director Ivor Bazanko. And I can remember standing by the piano in Ivor and Jeanette's house learning the song Hundreds and Thousands with the two other girls who were going to sing it with me on stage, Bev Jones and Susan Davis. I was, of course, the little one who shouted millions. And we're now going to listen to that song from a 1972 LP by the Goulburn Singing Company. I'll let John Gowans precede it again with a very appropriate word.
When I see children, innocent and pure, I'm lost in wonder that you can endure the thought of what they may in fact become before the long race of their life is run. Their predecessors give you endless pain, and yet you have the heart to try again. It's true they give your kindness lots of scope and prove to me you still believe in hope.
For those who don't know, Goulburn is quite near to Sydney in Australia. And a little interesting aside here, it was very nice to hear my good friend Barry Gott playing the cornet in that last piece. It's testimony time now, though. And we have a man in our meeting this evening who hasn't, it would be fair to say, always lived his life completely on the straight and narrow. Isn't that right, Fred? But first of all, we're going to sing a chorus. It's number 744, Ask and It Shall Be Given.
I do not pray because I know you'll answer. I dare not ask, for then I would receive. My silence is not proof that I am faithless. It simply goes to show that I believe. I do not seek for fear that I might find you. And finding you, of course, means losing me. And if I knocked, why, then the door would open and I would have to answer. Don't you see?
Father among you who will offer his son a snake when he asks for a fish? If you then, bad as you are, know how to give your children what's good for them? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Find us all the green and good. Find us all the great holy wood. Find us all the real cut no ice. Find us burn every secret vice. Find us burn all the bad in us. Cauterize what is cancerous. Find us scorch every stinking soul. Fire breaks up and the fire makes whole. Fire will be us, the fire of us. All them fire will fall on us. Fire will be us, the fire of us. All them fire will fall on us. Fire will be us, the fire of us. All them fire will fall on us. Fire will be us, the fire of us. All them fire will fall on us.
And the time of the fall of
Wondering, that was the Chalk Farm Band there, helping Freddie share his testimony. Someone Cares, number 10 in the songbook, is a song that has brought an immeasurable amount of blessing and comfort for over 50 years now. Often, I've known it to have been somewhat misunderstood, though. Although God does care, of course he does, this song is more about you and me. God's people. It tells the world that God cares through his people. What does the old poem say? He has no hands but our hands. So let's join now with the London Singers and Someone Cares.
His people, God himself, is close beside.
There are many, many pieces of music that have been arranged for Salvation Army bands that use melodies from the Gowans and Larson musicals. I think Raistham and Allen put together at least six of those selections, several of which still today form a part of a band's repertoire. But tonight, we're going to hear the Gowans and Larson Overture by Bill Broughton, played by the Enfield Citadel Band.
Thank you.
The Bible reading this evening is one that I spoke on not too long ago myself, as part of the series that I did recently about the miracles of Jesus. But tonight we're going to hear General Larson speak on this reading, and there's nothing wrong at all with sharing that scripture reading once again. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Jesus changes water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realise where it had come from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him.
In the story of the wedding at Cana, some words were uttered which remain eternally true and are really the secret of spiritual happiness. They were uttered by Mary. Now, Mary isn't quoted a great deal, but that day she said some words that if we take them to heart and live by them, we shall know always spiritual happiness and spiritual contentment. We will find things working out for us. Do you remember what happened? They run out of wine. And Jesus was approached by his mother. And even though Jesus seemed to turn her request down, Mary said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And they did. And suddenly, what seemed to be a calamity there at the wedding feast was turned into a happy occasion, and the water was turned into wine. Why? Because the servants followed the prompting of Mary. "Whatever he says to you, do it." And when Jesus said to them, "Fill those big jars with water," it might have seemed a very odd thing to do. But they did it, and everything worked out well. Now, I want to say to you here this morning that if we just take those words to heart, we will find that even though circumstances sometimes seem a bit odd, things do work out whenever we follow the sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that time when things hadn't worked out for the fisherman Peter and he hadn't been able to catch fish? And then the carpenter Jesus said to him, "Well, throw your net on the other side." And Peter began to protest and said, "Well, we've been working all night. There simply aren't any fish around here." But perhaps Peter remembered in that moment the words of Mary, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And Peter said to Jesus, "Well, if you say so, I'll do it." And he cast his net on the other side of the boat, and there was such a shoal of fish taken in that the nets broke. Of course, it was easier in those days for the servants. It was easier for Peter when they had Jesus present. They could put into practice his very words. But how do we hear the words of Jesus now in the 20th century? If we want to do whatever he tells us to do, How can we hear him speaking to us? I want to suggest four ways here this morning, and I speak very much to the young people as well, present here. The first way that Jesus speaks to us is through his word. A lot of people spend a lot of time saying, "Oh, Jesus, reveal to me, what is your will for my life?" And it could well be that Jesus has spoken the very word for you in his word. Whatever he says to you, do it. And if we want to find out what he's speaking to us, it's here in his word. Not only a general word to all Christians, but also particular words to each believer, because God the Holy Spirit uses this book to speak to God's people. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. If you want to know what the Lord is telling you this morning, it may well be that he wants to speak to you through his word. But in addition to that, Jesus speaks to us through the teaching of the church. The word doesn't cover all the details of life. For example, the Bible won't tell us much about genetic engineering or Sunday opening, whether it's right or wrong, or surrogate motherhood and all these other matters which are making us think these days. And therefore, God's people come together and they think together and they discuss together and they arrive at what might be called a Christian opinion on many matters. Though there are many matters too on which God expects us to make up our own personal mind. But that's another way that God will speak to his people. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. We need to listen to what Christian thinkers are saying in these days. But thirdly, Jesus speaks to us as well through our conscience. Now, our conscience is a very basic and a very blunt instrument to tell the difference between right and wrong. But our Lord uses the conscience very often to speak to us. The only trouble with the conscience is that it can be deflected. It's like a dog that barks, but we all know that you can train dogs not to bark. And some dogs will even receive burglars coming into the house with a wagging tail and a welcome because they've been trained to be nice to all people. Now, the conscience can sadly be trained in the wrong way as well. And there are people who get up to all kinds of things and their conscience does not bark at them because they taught it to be silent. But if our conscience is sensitive as God wants it to be, and if we come to God in prayer and say, "Oh God, keep my conscience sensitive," then Jesus will often speak to us through our conscience. And what was it Mary said? Whatever he says to you through your conscience, do it, do it. But fourthly, Jesus speaks to us as well through the Holy Spirit. That inner voice that prompts us, that comes unbidden, and we know that it is the voice of the Lord within our life. It is the Lord's personal word that comes to us in that way, often as an answer to prayer. And how many instances there are in life where people have said, "I knew it was the voice of the Lord within me." I remember when we were stationed in Scotland, hearing of how the Lord had spoken to one of God's very humble servants, but in a very clear way, in a very marvelous way. It happened at one of the larger corps there in Scotland that they discovered when they went down on the Friday night that burglars had broken in and that all the instruments of the band had been stolen. Not a single instrument remained. They called in the police and the police started their investigation. But they said, "You can help us if you contact all the second-hand instrument shops around this area, because it could well be that the thieves will try to get rid of the instruments as quickly as possible." And all day Saturday, the Salvationists were busy at work, scouting around, trying to find contacts, anybody who sold instruments. whether there had been an offer of a complete set of 30 instruments. But it came to Saturday evening, and there was no result yet. On the Sunday morning, the band sergeant was at his prayers. And as he prayed, he said, "But Lord, you know where the instruments are. Help us to find the instrument. You know we're due to proclaim the gospel in your open air meeting at 10 o'clock, and we haven't got any instruments this Sunday." And the inner voice said to him, "Go to the cemetery." Well, he kept praying. Oh, that was an odd thought. Didn't know where that thought had come from. So he said, "Lord, please help us to find those instruments." And that inner conviction, what can you call it? It's not a voice you hear with your ears. It's an inner feeling, an inner conviction, said, "Go to the cemetery." And he suddenly realized, here was he asking the Lord to guide him. And the Lord was guiding him. And he wasn't paying attention to it. So he got in his car and drove to the cemetery. It was early on Sunday morning. He parked his car and walked down the central avenue of the cemetery, feeling a bit foolish, really, wondering what he would say if anybody asked him what he was doing there early on Sunday morning. And he said, "Well, Lord, I'm here. What am I supposed to do?" And he just kept walking down the cemetery. And he turned into one of the side avenues there. And to his utter amazement, lying on the grass verge were the 30 instruments, and all in correct instrumental order, starting with the soprano on the left, going right down to the double B-flat bass. And he thanked the Lord. Obviously, it hadn't really been thieves, it had been more vandals that had broken in and had placed the instruments there. So he went to the nearest phone box and phoned his colleagues, and the band was on duty at the 10 o'clock open air. Now that was the Lord speaking. Whatever he says to you, do it. Go to the cemetery. And he went. Now some people, they get funny ideas coming into their minds. And we always need to make sure, if we get strange promptings, that it is the kind of thing that the Lord would ask us to do. Some people have got up to some very evil things in history, saying, "The Lord told me to do it." Nothing of the kind. The Lord would never prompt us to do anything that Jesus of Nazareth would not have expected of us. But it's not only in curious, miraculous circumstances like that. But the Holy Spirit is continually at work prompting his people, saying to them, "Arise, go, I have a work for you to do. I need you here, I need you there." There was a time when Philip the Apostle was having a marvelous time in Samaria. He was having mass rallies like Billy Graham is having these days. But the inner voice said to him, "Arise and go." And so, not understanding why, he arose and he went to where the Spirit was directing him. And as he went, he met that Ethiopian official as he went to Gaza. And through the conversion of that Ethiopian official, Christianity was brought to Africa. There was another time when Ananias was at prayer. And the voice said to him, "Arise and go. Go and speak to Saul," because he prayeth. And he began arguing. But perhaps he remembered the saying of Mary, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And so he got up and he went to speak to this arch enemy of Christianity, Saul. And he laid his hands on his head and called him brother. And through that conversion, Christianity spread right through the early world. There was another time when Peter was at prayer, and the inner voice said to him, "Arise and go to the house of Cornelius." And Peter again began arguing. But perhaps he remembered the words of Mary, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And so he followed that inner voice. And through the conversion of Cornelius, Christianity became not only a Jewish sect, but spread to the non-Jewish world as well. These were people who heard the inner voice, and when Jesus spoke to them, they did what he told them to do. Dear friends, that wedding of Cana happened many, many years ago, but the words that Mary spoke have something to say to each one of us. Could it be that the Lord is trying to break through to you with a message? He's trying to get you to listen. Is he speaking to you through his word? Is he speaking through his church, through your conscience? Or is the Holy Spirit trying to say something to you here this morning? We used to sing an old chorus, which we're not going to sing here this morning. The words used to be very simple. I'll do, Lord, I'll do, Lord. I'll do whatever you tell me to do, Lord. Whatever he says to you, do it. What is the Lord saying to you, dear friend? Are you reaching some kind of crisis point in your life? If that voice is coming through, the secret of spiritual happiness and success is to put into practice what the Lord is prompting.
Oh,
I do hope you've enjoyed this evening with Generals John Gowans and John Larson. I know that I always find an hour or so in their presence lifts my heart, raises a smile, and sends me on my way with a bit of a spring in my step and a fire in my heart. So we're going to conclude our meeting this evening with a song from Jesus Folk. It's number 96 in the songbook. Is there a name for pardon? Is there a name for power? Is there a name to guide us each day and every hour? Have we a name for cleansing? Have we a name for care? Have we a name for all men, for always, everywhere? Oh, there is such a name, of course, and that name is Jesus, the way, the only way to salvation, the only way to God, the only name we need, the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
We thank you for all the Christians who've gone before us. We praise you for the influence that they have had on our lives, for the lessons they have taught us, for the joy that they have brought into our existence. Particularly, perhaps tonight, we want to think of musicians, people who have given their gifts to you, and you have taken their offerings and multiplied them so that we can receive blessing after blessing, challenge after challenge, inspiration after inspiration from the gifts that they gave to you. Bless us all now, and may your grace, peace, and heaven's richest and choicest blessings go with us all until we can meet again. Amen.